The Shulchan Aruch tells us that we're supposed to enter two doors and afterwards daven. There are two interpretations of what this means. First, it might mean two door lengths, which is approximately 1 or 2 feet, that you should stand 1 or 2 feet away from the door when you daven Shmone Esrei. Don't daven too close to the door. The reason for this is twofold. Number one, if you daven too close to the door, you might get distracted by what's happening outside. That's why you should daven further away to minimize distractions. The second reason is that if you daven too close to the door, it looks like you're eager to run away from davening. So daven further away to show that davening is not a burden, but rather a pleasure. There are two nafkaminas between these two reasons for the first interpretation of entering two doors and then davening. The first nafkamina is, what if the door leads to a place which is quiet, where there's no distractions, where nobody's passing by, and probably nobody will pass by for the entire time that you're davening? There's no concern for distraction, but it still might look as if davening is a burden, as if you can't wait to get out of shul. And so if the problem is distractions, a peaceful, quiet door is fine. But if the problem is that davening looks like a burden, then even a peaceful, quiet door is a problem and you shouldn't sit next to it, stand next to it. The second nafkamina is, what if it's your permanent seat? Permanent seat doesn't solve the problem of distractions, and so you would not be allowed to daven next to a door where there's distractions, even if that's your permanent seat. But if you're davening in your permanent seat, it doesn't look like davening is a burden and you can't wait to get out of there. You're sitting or standing in that spot because it's your permanent seat. Practically speaking, we say that you shouldn't daven within 2 feet of a door unless you can satisfy both conditions. Namely, it's your permanent seat and there's no distractions outside the door. But if you're missing one of those two conditions, then you should not sit next to the door, even if it is your permanent seat. The other explanation of what it means to go in two doors and then daven says that two doors is not a measure of space, but rather a measure of time. The amount of time it takes to walk two doors, that long you should pause between entering shul and starting Shmone Esrei. And the reason for this is because sometimes you need to catch your breath to cool off or warm up, and then you'll be able to concentrate better. So by waiting a little bit, doesn't take that long, maybe 10 seconds, 20 seconds, however long it is, between when you enter and when you start davening, that will help you catch your breath, cool off, warm up, and that will enhance your davening. There were three opinions about what direction we should face when we daven Shmone Esrei. Everyone agrees that we're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. If we're in the west of Eretz Yisrael, we should face east. If we're in the east, we should face west. If we're in the north of Eretz Yisrael, we should face south. If we're in the south of Eretz Yisrael, we should face north. But here, practically, in New York City, what direction should we face towards Eretz Yisrael? The Lechem Chamudo says there's only four choices: north, south, east, or west. Since Eretz Yisrael is to our east more than any of the other directions, the Lechem Chamudo says we should face east. However, the Mishneh Berurah is unsatisfied with the Lechem Chamudo's translation, because if you go straight east from New York, you will never reach Israel. You'll travel through many other countries, but Israel is not just to the east of New York, it is also to the south of New York. And therefore, according to the majority opinion in the Mishneh Berurah, in New York, you should face southeast, which is the most precise direction to Israel. If you draw a line from New York facing southeast, you would eventually reach Eretz Yisrael. The third opinion says that you should face northeast. Some Achronim interpret the Mishnah Berurah this way, and the reason is because the shortest path to Eretz Yisrael starts off facing northeast, and then somewhere over the Atlantic turns again and goes southeast. If you head southeast, you will end up walking more miles between New York and Eretz Yisrael. If you head northeast, you will end up walking fewer miles.
Students are in my Zionism fellowship class. Please come to my office for a minute.
The reason for this has to do with the curvature of the Earth. The Earth is not a perfect sphere, but it bulges out in the center and is more flat on top. And therefore, if you walk towards the top of the Earth, you'll end up taking fewer steps, in the long run. If you go up to the north and then down to the south again, when you get closer to Israel. So according to some opinions, you should face northeast because that is the direction you would face if you were setting out on a path to Israel. And indeed, that is how airplanes always fly or almost always fly to Israel. They first fly north and then somewhere above the Atlantic, they turn and fly south again. This is not the majority interpretation of the Mishnah Berurah. The best direction to face practically is southeast. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if by putting the Aron Kodesh and the Sefer Torahs on the eastern wall, people won't be able to fit into the shul. If you want to fit all the shul's members, the only possible configuration is to put the Aron and the Sefer Torahs on a different wall, then that is allowed. But the question is, what should you do then? What direction should you face for Shmone Esrei? Should you face towards the Sefer Torahs and away from Israel? Or should you face towards Israel but away from the Sefer Torahs? And the Mishnah Berurah says that in his opinion, the correct thing to do is to face towards Israel, even though it's away from the Sefer Torahs. However, he says, there are some situations when it is okay to face towards the Sefer Torah. And that is, if the entire minyan faces towards the Sefer Torah in error, you should face the same direction as the minyan. Don't face Israel even though it's right. Go along with the minyan with what they are doing wrong. And the Be'er Hativ gives two reasons for this. He says, first of all, you don't want to insult the rest of the minyan, even though they're wrong, but you don't want to rub it in their face. You guys are wrong, I'm doing the right thing. It looks holier than thou, it's insulting to them. They're a minyan, they're a tzibur, they're a shul. Don't rub in their face that they're doing it wrong. And so therefore he says it's better to face the wrong way for Shmone Esrei than to insult the entire minyan. The second reason that he gives is that he's nervous that if you face one way and everyone else is facing a different way, they're going to start fighting with you. You'll start fighting back. And ultimately, what should be peaceful, calm davening will turn into a fight. So he says, rather than risk a fight, better just go along with them, even though what they're doing is not the best option. In Yeshiva University, we said that Rav Herschel Schachter started turning to face Israel, even though everybody else was facing the Sefer Torahs. And the reason is because he knew that people wouldn't fight with him. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. He knew that people would follow him rather than fight with him. Since there was no concern, the Be'er Hativ's concern didn't apply in his case, he did that. I can tell you that I was once the rabbi in a shul where the Aron and the Sefer Torahs were on the wrong wall, and I gave a shiur about what direction to face to sort of feel out whether people would peacefully change the direction that they were facing, and it didn't seem to me that I could be confident that there would be a peaceful change from what they were doing to what they should have been doing. And so I didn't, you know, I didn't push the point, and I let them, you know, I continued to face the wrong way together with them. But those are the two reasons of the Berhetiv. He's concerned about fights, and he is also concerned that it shouldn't be an insult to the minyan. It shouldn't look, you know, like yuhara, like holier than thou conduct. If someone doesn't know what direction is what should he do? Right. In other words, if he's at the North Pole, or if he's on a desert island, blindfolded, so he doesn't know which way is sunrise, right? Or he doesn't know where he is in the world. Is he to the east of Israel or the west of Israel? So the Shulchan Aruch says that he should have extra kavana. He should direct his heart to Hashem. You know, sometimes we can have kavana with our body, and sometimes we have kavana with our mind. And when we're when we're not able to have as much kavana with our body language, we have to have extra kavana with our thoughts. The Mishnah Brura adds that perhaps he should turn his feet one way and his head a second way. That way he doubles his chance of facing the right direction. The Mishnah Brura says, by the way, that this is also what to do when you start davening Shmon Esrei facing the wrong way, and then you suddenly remember in the middle, oh my gosh, I should be facing a different way. Don't move your feet, he says. Just turn your head to face the right direction. He says, unless, of course, that's going to cause a fight, in which case you should move your feet in the middle of Shmon Esrei in order to avoid distracting others making a commotion in the middle of davening. There are five things that we cannot hold in our hands during Shmon Esrei, and they are a knife, money, a roll of bread, a plate full of food, and a sefer, like a Gemara or a sefer Torah. The reason we can't hold these things is because we usually spend some concentration making sure that they don't fall. We're nervous. If the knife falls, it can hurt us. If the money falls, it can get lost. If the food falls, then we won't have our breakfast. The sefer falls, it's disrespectful to something holy. And so we concentrate on making sure that they don't fall. That concentration is taken away from davening. And since we're supposed to be concentrating on davening with our full concentration, we should not hold these things while we are davening. When are we allowed to interrupt Shmon Esrei to pick up a sefer that fell? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you need to meet two conditions in order to pick up a sefer. Number one, it's got to be that the sefer is distracting us from concentrating on davening. If a person is able to ignore the sefer until the end of his Shmon Esrei, he should ignore it, let someone else pick it up, or wait to pick it up until after Shmon Esrei. Obviously, you know, I feel bad, you know, it's not respectful to the sefer, but Shmon Esrei, concentrating on Shmon Esrei takes priority. But if he's so agitated and distressed that the sefer is on the floor, that he can't concentrate, then you can move on to the second condition, which is he needs to wait until he is in between brachas. So once he's in between brachas, if he can't concentrate, then he's allowed to bend down and pick up the sefer that fell. But otherwise, if he's in the middle of a bracha, right, or even between brachos, if he's able to concentrate properly, he should not interrupt his Shmon Esrei to pick up the sefer. If you're davening by heart and got confused, what should you do? The answer is, you are allowed to go someplace and get a siddur if you forget what words come next. You're allowed to move and get the siddur because if you don't know what words come next, what are you supposed to do? Stand there forever? Moving and interrupting is actually there to make your Shmon Esrei better so that you can continue to say the words properly. And so it's better to stop, go to the bookshelf, take out a siddur, and then finish Shmon Esrei right there next to the bookshelf. That's the preferred option. By the same token, if you're not sure what to do in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you're not sure whether you're supposed to, you know, you by accident said v'sein bracha, and you're supposed to say v'sein talumata levracha, and you don't know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say it in Shema Kolinu, but let's say you don't know that. So you're actually allowed to ask, you know, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It might be better to ask, you know, by texting, you know, someone who knows rather than actually talking, but you are allowed to interrupt to ask, because again, that is, you know, for the sake of Shemoneh Esrei. What about if inappropriate thoughts come into someone's head during Shemoneh Esrei? The Beis Yosef tells us that just like you cannot daven with dirty hands, you also cannot daven with a dirty mind. And so just like if your hands get dirty in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, someone who picks his nose or scratches his scalp in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, he's got to rub his hands, right, on some sort of a cleaning thing, right, Purell, or on a piece of cloth, right, or a napkin, tissue, right, on a chair, whatever it might be, till his hands are clean. Person also has to start thinking about other things. If his mind gets dirty during Shemoneh Esrei, if you have a sitter with translation, that's very helpful. Just concentrate on the translation of the words. You know, think about some Dvar Torah that you heard recently. It doesn't work to try to fight, you know, dirty thoughts. The best thing really is to just think about other things. That's really the best, you know, the best way to, you know, to clean out a person's head. To just distract oneself with things that are more holy. And if thoughts come back, then distract yourself again and again and again, as many times as necessary. How much personal space is someone who is davening entitled to? The answer is 4 amos, which is approximately 6 to 8 feet. What are two reasons that the davener gets this personal space? So one reason is because davening is a conversation with Hashem. And so you need to be respectful of the fact, right, that the davener is in conversation with Hashem, not walk between them. Again, obviously Hashem is everywhere, but just to enhance our appreciation of the fact that davening really is a meeting with Hashem, we're supposed to just envision it as if the davener is talking to Hashem and sort of avoid their bubble, so that we don't walk in between the conversation. The second reason is because by walking in front of the davener, you are going to distract him. So you should not walk too close in front of him in order to enhance or to help him concentrate. And obviously this means that if you finish davening and the person behind you did not finish davening, don't take your 3 steps back, because then you're going into the conversation that the guy behind you is having with Hashem and you're distracting him. So you just stay where you are with your feet together and wait until the person finishes his Shemoneh Esrei. Sometimes when that happens, you're looking back behind you every 2 seconds and the guy behind you is going to get like a little bit nervous. Oh my gosh, I'm really inconveniencing him. Don't do that either, because that's also distracting. Just wait calmly, patiently. Don't keep on looking behind you. And at a certain point, you'll turn around once and you'll see that he's done and you'll take your 3 steps back as well. But you're not supposed to take your 3 steps back into someone else's personal space.